Pence.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, a very good Monday. Welcome to Derby Week, everybody. I was sending a note to Casey, and the mic was open, and so it recorded everything I said. So, Casey, I'm going to let me erase those things so that you don't get a chapter right off the bat. Happy to come to you from the Downs, and this most unusual Derby Week gets started, and later today, later this morning, in fact, the draw for the Oaks, they've actually put together the first 3 days of racing set for the Downs starting tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Derby, and some stakes and plenty of good racing, and one of the strangest parts of all of this is, of course, the fact that Churchill Downs, Del Mar, and Saratoga will all be running at the same time. And it's going to be a very intense week. And there's just so much. And it's not limited just to these major circuits, the three major circuits of New York, Kentucky, and California. There's a lot more going on. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveBeck.com. Had a very leisurely, I described it actually in a tweet on Saturday, very leisurely trip across New York and down through Pennsylvania, Ohio, and to Louisville, getting in Saturday afternoon. And it felt similar and felt somewhat typical, but at the same time, it was unusual too. I mean, don't forget, there's been plenty of years where we come here for Breeders' Cups, coming back end of October for Keeneland, of course, for a week, and that part of it, you know, the seasonality aspect, different. Then there's all the other backdrop scenarios to appreciate and to essentially be aware of what's gone on here in Louisville. And the oddness of days before Derby and the calm and the quiet and the rather, you know, rather serene atmosphere. The things will ratchet up to some degree with the arrivals over the next couple of days of the rest of the Oaks and Derby horses and the other stakes horses coming from different parts of the country. But just to look across these last couple of mornings, yesterday and this morning, and in advance of the 7:30 training period for Derby and Oaks horses, to look across at the backstretch, and usually, you know, this close to this, you know, the weekend of Derby and Oaks, there's just no activity. There's none of the bustle and the energy, the excitement. I mean, all of that. It's a very subdued atmosphere, as, let's be honest, as anticipated. How can it not be? With that as a major element leading in, let's get a feel quickly for where things stand and what transpired over the last 48 hours since we were together. And that included some changes in the field and some official decision making for both fields. And right now, the Derby contingent stands at 17, and the addition of Money Moves, the designation by Pletcher that Money Moves would attend and would participate, the decision officially from the Michael McCarthy camp that Rushy would participate in the Pat Day Mile. And so Javier Castellano, who had been intended for Rushy in the Derby, ends up on Money Moves instead. So the field is 17 as it stands right now with Tis the Law and Manny Franco, Authentic, and John Velasquez, Art Collector, Brian Hernandez Jr., Honor AP and Mike Smith, New York Traffic, Paco Lopez, King Guillermo, Sammy Camacho, Thousand Words, Florent Giroux, Max Player, Ricardo Santana Jr., Enforceable, Adam Pachiza, the Biscuit, Major Fed, James Graham, Storm the Court, Julian Leperoux, Attachment Rate, Joe Talamo, fresh off of his riding title at Ellis that concluded yesterday, Luca Panici and Sol Volante, Sol Volante arriving and getting a tour this morning with a pony, Finnick the Fierce, who is at the Thoroughbred Training Center, Martin Garcia, who will be in his fifth Derby, Winning Impression, Joe Rocco Jr., Necker Island, Miguel Mena, and Money Moves, Javier Castellano. Your field is 17. And for those that were curious, because somebody asked on my website this morning, first thing, and if you didn't see Ed DeRosa's visual, the schematic, if 17 horses go, when it comes to the new 20-horse gate, the first and second berths will remain open, as would the 20th. So the 17 horses would leave from the 3 through the 19. And that schematic, is adjusted. The horses, more or less, I mean, if it ended up with 14, they would have three slots on either side empty. So essentially, with a field of 17 as it stands right now, barring anybody, and nobody would, I mean, that would be always the greatest frustration that there is in the game, to be this close to a big race and have something go amiss. But it does happen. But if it goes with the 17 right now, I mean, essentially, the 1 and 2 hole are not going to be a problem for anybody. There's, you know, very little concern, really. And being on the outside, which in recent years has become a major plus, frankly, a lot of winners coming from the auxiliary gate. No more reference. That may be the last reference ever to the auxiliary gate. But if the 1 and 2 are empty and horses start from the 3 out to the 19, you're not going to, you know, be nearly as hampered as, you know, has always been, you know, one of the great concerns for horsemen and connections going into Derby. But 17 looks like right now. And later this morning, we'll keep an eye on the draw. We'll maybe take some of the audio for the pill pull for the Oaks. And that'll be at 11 o'clock this morning and a field of 10 there. A couple of defections, including yesterday, Bonnie South coming out, the Judmont Brad Cox filly. But Cox will still send She Dares the Devil, Florent Giroux, aboard the 10 that are expected when they open the entry box this morning. Swiss Skydiver, Tyler Gaffleone, Speech, Javier Castellano, She Dares the Devil, Florent Giroux, Project Whiskey, Butchie Reed, and Paco Lopez. Donna Veloce, who has had one start this year, a big ask, you would think. Ricardo Santana Jr. has picked up the mount on Donna Veloce. Gamin and Johnny V for Baffert. Hopeful Growth, Manny Franco for Anthony Margata Jr. Dream Marie, Matt Williams, and Joe Talamo. Cherie DeVoe added Baroness on Friday to the Oaks field after we were off the air. And Cherie is not, they've not made a decision yet on a rider. Tempers Rising, who had been, you know, kind of considering and then wasn't considering and then came back. And tempers rising for Dallas Stewart, who we saw this morning, and Julian Leperu. So your field of 10 anticipated later this morning when they draw the Oaks. And so 10 by 17 as things stand now. And, you know, I mentioned Martin Garcia with his fifth Derby start. I don't even know what. Well, I do know what it was. I was curious how many riders, given the situation, and we'll talk, obviously we'll do some recapping this morning, probably between now and 11, plenty of recapping of a good weekend of racing that started Friday night, particularly at Charlestown, and with the Charlestown scenario of all local riders, not that this weekend is confined to local riders, but some local riders did get mounts that might not have otherwise received. And it made me wonder how many first-time Derby riders were going to be involved in this field. And there's only three. It's just three, which is seemingly not an unusual number. Sammy Camacho in his first Derby with King Guillermo. Adam Bacisa on Enforceable. His first Derby, and Luca Panici, his first with Sol Volante. And to give you an idea of the experience levels, there's Smith and there's Johnny V. Smith will be riding his 26th Derby, Johnny V his 22nd Derby. And the only other riders with double-digit experience on this oval in the Derby, Julian Leperu in his 12th, and Javier Castellano in his 14th. And as accomplished as the two of them are, it is pretty astounding. You know, Javier only recently, I guess it was with Audible probably. Yeah, Audible. There was a point, I think he was 0 for 12 without a board hit, and Audible was his first board hit, Javier Castellano. So he's won, what, six Travers? And for whatever reason, just has not, and given his association with between Todd Pletcher and other top barns, it's astounding, really, that Javier has not found his Derby. And at some point, you would think you'd think it would happen. Listen, it took a long time for Johnny, now with two. And it took a long time for Smith, technically, you think about it. I mean, that it's not the most unusual scenario. And then there's the craziness that Calvin Burrell authored in short order. Pretty amazing. 14 for Javier Saturday and 12 for Julian, who also is 0 for the board, looking for his first board hit. I'm sure some people would say it's not coming with Storm the Court, but I'll tell you what, Storm, I've been saying this for months. Storm the Court has run better than I think people realize. He's been okay. I mean, has he gone forward since the Breeders' Cup? Maybe a little bit. I mean, if you use figs as a measurement, I'll give you the whole rundown. Manny Franco in his third, Brian Hernandez Jr. in his third, Paco in his second, Florent Giroux in his fifth, Ricardo Santana in his sixth, James Graham in his second, Joe Talamo in his third, told you Garcia his fifth, Joe Rocco Jr. his second, Miguel Mena his second, and so there's the Derby experience factor, such as it is. And of course, there's been no shortage of riders. I mean, I, you know, King Guillermo, Enforceable, and Sol Volante with first time Derby riders, but you know, there's been plenty of first time experience winners, and most recently probably Mario Gutierrez, right, with his win. Stewie Elliott, of course, was a first time pop. And we'll feather in some Derby experience on the training side as well as the week proceeds. There was a funny little notation from last night, just watching things on, you know, reading things on Twitter, and happened to come across a really fairly adorable tweet, and it involved a young woman that is clearly a talented artist, and she had the 2007, she said she had sat in front of the TV and wrote down each horse as the, you know, as the broadcast unfolded, and it was the 2007 Derby, which, you know, is certainly one of the great classes of three-year-olds in recent memory. And the girl's name is Amanda, and she had written down the horses and their post positions, and had made a really cute little silhouette head of a horse. And I thought it was really sweet. But then when I looked at the list of the field, there were so many unusual elements to it. And I saw where Trey, I tweeted it out, and Trey Thornton responded, and he said, you know, I walked over, he said, I was invited to walk over with Stormello, and that made me think of Bill Curran. And you know, that was a very fun season, a very fun winter. And Curran, who had really, you know, crafted Stormello and conjured him up, had such confidence in him and traveled to Florida with him. And you know, Stormello was a cool horse. And looking at the field, I was struck that Darren Miller had two horses. So did Bill Kaplan. They had two horses in 2007 each. The Millers Darren Miller and Silverton Hill, they had Sedgefield as well as Dominican. And Bill Kaplan, who came close to having three horses in the Derby that year, had I'm a Wild and Crazy Guy and Storm in May. So Bill Kaplan and Darren Miller had two each. There was no Baffert. There was no Baffert. Which was pretty interesting. Doug O'Neill too had a pair, had Liquidity and Great Hunter. It was such a great Derby. There was also, of course, the tie to this year in 2007, which was the fact that Barkley Tag and John Sheriffs, who had won Derbies, had themselves, you know, in prior recent years to 2007. Barkley had No Biz for Mrs. Volando, No Biz like Show Biz, and Sheriffs had Tiago. Pretty crazy year. And Todd had what? Did Todd have five that year? I think Todd had five that year. Any Given Saturday, Circular Key, Scat Daddy, Sam P, and Cowtown Cat? Yeah. Yeah. A lot of notable people. Satish in there with Any Given Saturday. And, of course, traveling around that 2007 season, that Tampa Bay Derby, which was my first trip to Tampa. Actually, was it my first trip? I think it was. And that was about as great, that Tampa Bay Derby. Continues to be. When people say, what was the best race you ever saw? That was about as good a race as you'd ever want to see. Street Sense in Any Given Saturday in that Tampa Bay Derby that year. And so many, you know, so many things came out of this Derby and Triple Crown season with Street Sense, Heartspun, and Curlin. And what a great, you think about what that group did and continues to do. As Stallions, the late Scat Daddy, of course, in there, and his obvious lasting impact on the game. But Curlin, Hardspun, Street Sense. And don't discount Cowtown Cat. We've got a Cowtown Cat, Minute Mouse. I think she's going to run Sunday, actually. So anyway, I'm meandering, and I got so many things here that I'm excited to talk about, and just very obviously happy to be here, and happy that we can try to, you know, make this this middle leg of the Triple Crown that alone just kind of makes you cock your head and roll your eye a little. The middle leg of the Triple Crown. Everything points to a good week here, and there's going to be public demonstrations right across the street, across Central Avenue, and that is going to certainly get attention and coverage. But the racing shaping up very well, and we'll give you more of the details of how they're going to handle things, including the expectation that there might be close to 1,000 people total here, Oaks and Derby owners, during the week. Horsemen and owners get some passes. There's going to be, for those of you that are planning to come, and those that are connected to Derby Oaks horses, and anybody else that is going to be here during the week, and you're on your way at some point to the Downs, there's going to be a fairly arduous entry system in place. They're checking IDs extensively. They're even recording license information, state identification, etc. So be patient, and it has potential to to test some people's patience, but they're taking every precaution. And one thing I will mention, because I didn't know what to expect, leaving the Capital District of New York the other day. Uniform mask compliance. There isn't anybody that is out there that isn't dealing with the mask. I can't call them suggestions. I call them, I guess, they're restrictions. And everybody's got them. Everybody's wearing them. And the hotels and the restaurants going in and all that. I haven't seen any issue. So from that standpoint, traveling really for the we went to Jersey for Haskell, but other than that, really haven't been outside of the Saratoga, Albany area, and New York. Everybody's masked up, but here, same thing. Whether it's on track or in town, so far the first day and a half. So, a couple of things about the weekend. Mike Trombetta is going to join us first, and let's talk about the racing action. Saturday was one thing. Friday night was really kind of entertaining. I got to say, if you were dialed in to the Charlestown action and the feature, the $600,000 Charlestown Classic. Well, what a performance! And I'm trying to reach Miguel Silva, and that effort by Sleepy Eyes Todd, he just blew that field out of the water. Established early control and just was like a snowball downhill. Went off as the very near second choice and was very impressive. The 102 buyer, too, for Sleepy Eyes Todd, a career best, improving on his Lone Star Mile effort, where he got beat by Hunk of Burning Love, the Broberg. And that was at the end of June. But Sleepy Eyes Todd really took to the bull ring. And came in, a little fresh, and a big win. And one of the things about Friday night at Charlestown that was really pleasant was the idea that those riders were having a chance. Not that there haven't been successful riders over the years that have, you know, that have won nice races during these Charlestown opportunities, because there have, you know, obviously there's been, you know, there's been local horses very much that have done well, but to have the whole field comprised of the local riding colony, that part I thought was pretty neat. And for Carlos Delgado, the opportunity to win a $600,000 race, how much is that, how many times is that gonna happen? And, you know, he's a rider that, you know, it's been around about 3-4 years, and, 203 wins, and his first graded stake win, of course, and, a big, big payday. But, you know, Silva has done a very nice job with this horse. He's a 4-year-old and, won it first asking at Remington, was tested in the Smarty Jones, and then, you know, kind of meandered through the season, was second as a 3-year-old, was second behind Owendale in the Oklahoma Derby, then got a little bit of a break and started essentially his 3-year-old year in December in the Hawk Memorial at Remington. Tried the John Connolly on the turf and the Mineshaft at Fairgrounds, won the Bosselmans, the Gus Bonner, and it's certainly a feather in the cap of Fonner Park to have had a graded stake winner come out of their season. Sleepy Eyes Todd. I tried to reach Miguel already a couple of times this morning and haven't connected, but that was obviously the big highlight on Friday night. Fly on Angel as well, Claudio Gonzalez for Joe Besseker. And Fly on Angel, very similar, right to the lead, and then held on late, was being seemingly run down by the Lieblong's Wicked Whisper, who was trying to nail Fly on Angel on the wire, but wasn't to be. And Freddie Peltra, the pilot, 9-1 for Fly on Angel to win the Charlestown Oaks. And this is a horse that was claimed at Parks for 50 and has kept solid company. And it actually run a big race at Parks in the race that saw her claim. She's a Palace Malice filly. And this is a nice turnaround. Joe Besseker, who you usually see with Keneally, right? Yeah. Right? I think so. Yeah. I thought that she was going to get caught. It really looked like Angel Lopez and Wicked Whisper were going to get there. And for Freddie Peltrick, he's won graded stakes before. He won the Barbara Fritchie on Late Night Powwow last year. In fact, a two-time Charlestown Oaks winner, because he won with the Late Night Powwow when she was a 3-year-old. So that was the two graded stakes. The rest of that action, Jeff Runco won the Levitt with Stowe Angel, owner David Rame. And that was the first of the West Virginia stakes. Safi Joseph for Ken Copenhaver in the Dance to Bristol with Queen Nikia. Queen Nikia, Relentless Dancer, Mike Maker, Paradise Farms and Partners, and Bourbon Calling, Ian Wilkes, Bourbon Lane. They won the Russell Road. And then there was one more, right? At the night, the nightcap. The Sylvia Bishop Memorial was also Runco. So Runco bookended. I didn't realize that. With Arnaldo Boca Chica, Star of Night for Huntertown Farm, to close things out. And the the force out, and the jackpot took under a little under $1 million. $25,000. Nice payday in the forced out pick six. Speaking of, by the way, speaking of big paydays, Del Mar last night, I was sort of fading away, actually. I was tired from the drive, and just was kind of fading in and out. But the result last night at Del Mar, series of prices, huge series of prices, that resulted in one ticket, and haven't heard if it's a computer based group, $750,000 payday in the pick five, one winner, a little under $1 million in the pool. Yeah, you had sixth choice, seventh choice, eighth choice, a second choice. Lisa Bernard, congratulations to Lisa, and Governor Godeven won the stake, the general portion. And then Papa Pedromo's froze in the nightcap as the longest shot on the board. Not a crazy price. The prices were kind of contracted. 17-1 was the longest shot on the board in 11-horse field. 35.80 and $753. It sure feels like, we'll hear that it's a CAW number. Then we got into Saturday, and the Saratoga card, of course, was going to be threatened by weather, and actually things, all things considered, came off pretty good. We had softish turf, and that was very evident, and it contributed certainly to the results. And most notably, you would think, with Channel Maker, not that Channel Maker isn't regularly competitive, but it's very tough. It's very tough to quicken and run down horses on soft turf. And Channel Maker got to the lead. Manny Franco, and of course yesterday, Manny's last day at the Saratoga meet. He'll be here today. Everybody that's going to ride here this week needs to be here by noon today. So Manny Franco wrapped up at Saratoga and had a very good season, and including winning a Sword Dancer for the big Channel Maker ownership group. What a cool horse he is. And, of course, English Channel just enhancing his reputation for progeny that can get over softish turf. That's a nice quality, and they certainly don't mind it firmer. But, boy, so often you see English Channels that win under those conditions. And of course, he himself won under those conditions when you think about his Breeders' Cup. So Channel Maker in the Sword Dancer, and I'll save the superlatives for win for Mike Trombetta, who's going to join us here momentarily. We'll talk about the forego. That was the most unbelievable rally you'll ever see. It just seemed like he had absolutely dropped out of it. And is there a worse feeling when you're watching than seeing, watching the chicklets and seeing, where's my horse? Where's my chicklet? Where's the seven? And he was nowhere. And then when the pan shot comes around the corner, you could see that he was in the midst of a rally, but it was when he straightened up. Unbelievable. And he's run 7/8 twice, set the track record in the Pasco at Tampa, and now wins the forego. And Mrs. Weber for Live Oak, it's a tremendous win. And we talked about Hattrick, with Sid maybe 6 weeks ago, give or take, came up. And I kept thinking, there's a Hattrick around that who am I thinking of? And it took me a day to realize it was win. it'll be fun to talk to Mike, because there was never a question that he would get opportunities in this realm, in this kind of a distance and configuration. But they tried different things, and of course you try the, why wouldn't you try the, you know, the Triple Crown route and the classic trail. The grade one Forgo, and you know, there's lots of things to talk about within that race. He ended up with a real pace, even though it didn't look going in like there was all that much. And certainly enough for win to rally from way downtown. Yoppin, under Joel Rosario, and the latest Heilingbrot sprint machine, Yoppin, the Uncle Mo, wins the Amsterdam and pretty much just controlled on the front end. The Saranac, reach out for Graham Motion and talk about bye-bye Melvin, the three-year-old, at a fat number. Alex Campbell, homebred, 19-1. Yeah, and that was tricky. That was a tricky. That group was a little. There was a few spots over the weekend. Yesterday too. We'll talk in a second about the Shuvi and what transpired there yesterday, because that's about as nice a story as we've had at Saratoga this summer. The Mexican horseman, highly accomplished, coming to town, Faustino Gutierrez and Latruska yesterday. That was a perfect counterbalance, really. In fact, Andy said, I think I heard Andy say that yesterday during the show about how Latruska's performance on the front end was a nice counterbalance to what Win did on Saturday, coming from the absolute back of the pack. And then on Friday, we should mention too, because it's going to get lost in the shuffle. But on Friday in the Lake George, selflessly, with the upset of Sweet Melania, and you know, a number that, you know, people say, oh, Chad gets overbet. Well, he wasn't overbet on Friday. And selflessly runs down Sweet Melania in the Lake George to lead into the weekend. Plenty of other fun action to discuss, including Jersey, the Eatontown, and yesterday Jersey bred were on display. The Pat O'Brien, CZ Rocket wins again for Peter Miller. There was also lots of stuff going on at Woodbine to talk about and Gulfstream too. But right now, Mike Trombetta standing by, and Mike in basking in the afterglow of a grade one success for Charlotte Weber and Live Oak with Win. Mike, congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
This was obviously satisfying, and you know, you've tried different things with him. We've talked about him quite a bit over the last year plus. Understand, you know, going down the classic trail, that's irresistible. But you've seemed like in the first half of the year you were starting to angle toward what you knew in the back of your mind was something that he was really good at, going back to that Pasco track record performance at Tampa.
Well, it was certainly something we wanted to see again if we had the chance, but this year we were at the mercy of the whole COVID thing and the scheduling and cancellations, and so many plans were changed for everybody. So our first race back out of the box, we ran him on the turf, and he caught a turf that was a little softer than maybe what he wanted anything to do with. And coming off a layoff, it just kind of turned out as, you know, that was just a race to get his feet wet again. And, we ran back in our second start in a race that should have been any type of stake. And, it was a good group of horses, and he put in a great effort. He encountered some trouble late in the race. It was a little bit of extra time before he could get him in the clear to really get him running. And he ran a good second. So then we were faced with, okay, now what? And thankfully, when I pitched this race to the owners, they were very receptive to giving it a try. And even though we had to wait some time before the race run, because I think it was positioned, I don't know, seven to 8 weeks from his race prior. So we didn't have a lot of choice but to wait. And thank goodness it paid off.
The preparations, notwithstanding, the conditions were difficult. And, you know, that's not an unusual circumstance. In fact, we can go back to last year's Derby with win, and you know, nasty conditions. But talk about strategically and the concerns that there might not be a tremendous amount of pace, at least on paper. It didn't look like we were going to get a contested pace, and then of course the bell rings and all bets are off.
Yeah, and you know, and the whole day went that way when the rain started. I mean, you know, no sooner we got the tack on the horses, they were trying to expedite the post parade and trying to get the race in before the heaviest of the rains, and they were off by probably a good 10 minutes with it, and you know, the rain beat them to the punch, and so we didn't really have time to talk to the riders. I mean, real briefly, hurry up, get out there. They zipped them around right to the gate, so it was all a bizarre set of circumstances.
And then what Javier ends up turning in with a, you know, from the seven hole, and I was laughing. And in fact, I've already gotten one email from a listener who bet win, when I said, "Where's my chicklet?"
Yeah,
you're watching.
Great name for a horse.
lost chicklet. Talk
truly,
about what, yeah, right? What did you see?
Truly, it was a very emotional thing for me because, honestly, you know, you hope for the best, but you worry about the worst. And I truly didn't know if something happened. I thought, you know, did he fall off? Did he pull up sore? What happened? I mean, because, you know, the horse had been training so darn good, and I'm thinking, why are we back there? And I think it was one of those deals, and it's kind of hard to see, but I think he just got a little squeezed, and he had to grab him for a second, and that was enough for him to, you know, all of a sudden be 8-10 lengths out of it. And the good news is it didn't matter, but, you know, it certainly wasn't drawn up that way.
When did you pick him up and realize that he was okay and he was just trailing the field? And when did you realize that he was actually rallying and you know, might start getting some calls from Johnny I?
Well, two things happened. First of all, I didn't see the horse. When they made the turn for home, when they were halfway through the turn, his little orange seven box reappeared on the bottom of the screen. So the first thought was, okay, he's still okay. You know, nothing, you know, although he's probably going to run horribly, the horse is okay. And then I seen where, you know, he angled way out to the middle of the racetrack. And then truly, I only got to really watch the last quarter of a mile. It was a good quarter, but that was the only part I got to see.
And then it wasn't hard to realize about, I guess it was between the eighth pole and the 16th pole, you realized, oh my God, he's going to make this close. And then in another couple of jumps, you realized he's going to win this.
Yeah. I mean, you went from being, you know, hopeless to a winner in a grade one all in a matter of 25 seconds or so. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible experience. And I'm almost certain the likelihood of ever having that happen again is very unlikely.
You know, obviously, a win like this enhances everything about him and his career, and for Mrs. Weber, you know, who just cherishes really any success. And you can address it. I think I've brought it up with you here and there. You have really struck a really nice position with the Live Oak team, and talk about, you know, the kinds of horses you're getting from Charlotte, and you know, you've really made the most of the opportunity and are finding success for the Live Oak runners that you're getting.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's the business that we're in, right? Every year we start out with a new bunch of young horses, and some of them wind up being special, and some of them wind up being claiming horses, and none of us really know which direction a lot of these guys are going to go in until you put the work in and you get on down the road. So I'm just grateful to be a part of it. The horses always come first, and it's been a very enjoyable relationship.
Hey, give us a feel. First of all, you know, 48 hours later, how's he come out of it?
He's actually on his way back to Fair Hill right now. So he appeared to come out of the race well. You know, he's a very energetic individual. So I look forward to seeing him tomorrow and getting him back to it here, you know, later this week, and then maybe start to map out a plan for what's next.
This is 7/8. How effective do you think he might be, you know, going a classic 3/4?
You know, that might be the decision, right? Personally, with his gate speed, he would worry me going 3/4, because, you know, the one thing that resonates with me, what Javier said when he climbed off of him, he said he just don't want to be rushed. And that says something to me. So, you know, we'll have some decisions to make as far as what we do, but I know what I'm going to shop for, and it's just a matter of what we can find.
Well, winning a four-go, a terrific addition to the resume, and just obviously thrilled for Charlotte and Ginny and the whole Live Oak team. And they, as you mentioned, you know, separately, the only negative is that that Charlotte couldn't be there to enjoy it, because she
right.
loves the opportunity, and you know, she contributes so much to the industry and to her operation. So, but I think based on communications, I think she enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, it's the next best thing. As long as you're we're healthy and we can watch them from home and enjoy the day. It's not like being there, but it's definitely the next best thing.
Well, you certainly had a high profile. Mike Trombetta with us. You had a high profile weekend at Saratoga, sending out three starters in three stakes. And let's talk about Premier Star, who kind of probably was overlooked a little bit in that effort in the Amsterdam right before. And I thought he had a look and had a puncher's chance in there. He ran well.
He ran good. I'm proud of him, and only time will tell. But I think the smart guys are thinking the horse we were chasing around the track is going to show up in the Breeders' Cup in a big way. So, I think we were in a very key race, and I think the horse performed good, and I look forward to getting another chance at it.
What do you think about with him?
Well, you know, we'll tackle whatever straight three-year-old sprints. You know, I think he's good at 3/4 to 7/8. I don't think he particularly wants two turns, but we'll tackle whatever we can that looks like a good fit. There's possibly a race for him at Monmouth in October, so we'll see how he comes back and map out a plan for him as well.
Well, and Premier Star got beat what, 4 lengths, That's got to be a 90-something fig, because Yopin got 100. So probably a career best for him. Sonata Stables, they paid $100,000 for this Tapiture colt bred by Charlie Dieters. And Premier Star third. You also had two others that took minor shares. Give us a little more background about the mystery horse. Yesterday, Mike, in the Shoe V, Lucky Stride, I'm going to guess based on her work tab and her strong notes when it came to the workout report, Lucky Stride took a lot of money. And what did you learn about her yesterday?
Well, I learned that she belongs with good horses. We always worry how that form's going to spin over to our form, over here with these guys. obviously you got to run against better horses, so you got to see how you stack up. She showed me a lot yesterday. You know, she kind of let the field slip away early, and that kind of hurt her a bit. And, you know, I'm sure the rider was thinking with a fast pace up in front, you know, you've got a chance for him to maybe back up to him at a mile and an eighth. Well, the track wasn't having that. As you know, they think they went 3/4 and 9 on change, and the leader kept going. So the good news is she galloped out strong. She finished up with good energy, and she, you know, was wide and only lost by 3 lengths. So that tells me that she's going to fit real well in most races, you know, in the Mid-Atlantic and even in New York.
Nice. Lucky Stride. And if you didn't get a chance to see the Shoe V from yesterday, I don't think anybody was beating the winner, Latruska. And, you know, another you know, South Central American style storyline. And Lucky Stride came out of Camarero and Puerto Rico, but Latruska, the Mexican wonder, and an elated Fausto Gutierrez yesterday. It's a really nice story, and his first big stake win in the United States, and easy to be, you know, happy for him, and you could really, it was really infectious. She was really strong in there, Mike. That was some performance.
Yeah, that was huge. You know, and just goes to show you the power of Saratoga. People come from all over and anywhere and everywhere to get there. So that's a great example of it.
Let me also, before we talk about the rest of the meet and some other subplots, American Giant in the Lake George and was outposted, and Manny seemed to get her in position, and she kind of ran pretty evenly and really didn't get beat all that much for everything.
She's another one. She was the circumstances. You know, there was nowhere to run her. I would have loved to have run her against a little softer group in the Mid-Atlantic, but, you know, she's exhausted her allowance conditions. So that was the only three-year-old filly stake on the turf that, to be found. So you had to do it. And, you know, she drew an outside post, which didn't help her. Manny did an excellent job with her. And at the end of the day, she steadied inside the 16th pole a little bit, and she was beating 3 lengths for everything. So she proved to me she belongs, and if she stays well, I think she'll continue to win a few more stakes, especially if I can maybe exploit some of the Florida bred stuff, you know, as we get into the calendar a little bit.
Well, and of course, going back to last year at Calder in November, she won the juvenile turf there, and that's that was on her way to, you know, bigger unrestricted company opportunities like the Wait a While and the Ginger Brew and the Christiana at Delaware, and you can see that she's making steady, small, incremental progress with every start. So plenty of upside. She's a more than ready out of a Giant Causeway mare, a Live Oak homebred. And Mike, otherwise, give us a feel. I drove out of town the other day on my way here, and I stopped by the barn to see our filly, Minute Mouse. She's going to run Sunday. I haven't stopped by your place. You're right across the way. How many you got left to run between now and Labor Day?
The sad news is the last 7 are on the truck right now heading back south. So it's always sad to see the mountains in the rearview mirror, as they say, but we're out of there for the season. And it was bitter, you know, it was kind of bittersweet yesterday because, you know, it was nice to leave on a good note. But, you know, it's always sad to see Saratoga end.
Well, not so terrible, you know, sending out the string off the heels of a grade one win.
No, absolutely not.
Hey, what about everybody else? You know, I mentioned the success you're having with Live Oak and, you know, the super escape story up at Woodbine. You seem to be poaching those things left and right.
That filly loves that surface, and she has a couple more opportunities up there before the end of the season. But, you know, she thinks she's invincible on that stuff. And, you know, she's a winner on the dirt, a winner on the turf, and she's a multiple graded winner now on the synthetic. But that is by far her best surface.
You poach. We've talked about this, like so many of the Mid-Atlantic horsemen and the outfits that either come out of Maryland or Fair Hill or Laurel, etc. The opportunity to really ship, you know, virtually anywhere. And even though Colonial season was scuttled, you know, down to Colonial, up to New York, out to Presque Isle. I mean, you've actually have taken advantage of both of the Northeastern synthetic surface programs.
Yeah, I mean, when these guys are ready to run, it's our job to find races for them. And in a perfect world, you know, you wouldn't have to move them around so much, but it's just the way that it is. And, you know, sometimes it gets right hectic, and it's a little bit of a chore, but, you know, it's all about getting as much out of you can out of the season. And because after Thanksgiving and then you go into December, and turf stops up this way, everything changes. And then you got to regroup again. You know, we already Stolaps are due at South Florida in about 10 or 11 days, and they keep sending out reminders. I mean, it's hard to believe we're at that point already, but that's where
that
we're
is. Well, it's, you know, it's September tomorrow, and just that quickly. I mean, you got the last third of the year, and frankly, I mean, people will be dancing jigs come midnight December 31st to get out of this 2020. I do want to ask you about one stake that I only mentioned in passing going back 2 weeks, and I didn't reach out to you because there were some of the East and West Coast heavy head action to discuss. But speaking of Presque Isle, the win in the Carl Boyce, Wet Your Whistle, that was you had been gone almost a year, right? He'd been,
yes,
a year.
Yeah, he ran. We took him to Kentucky Downs last year, and he run up on heels and clipped heels in the turn and took a horrible bobble, and he came out of that race very unhappy, and you know, that ended his season basically. So we were faced with a situation where, you know, he missed the last two or three months of the grass season, and we had to give him the rest of the winter and let him kind of get himself back together again. And he had been training very nicely all spring, you know, leading up to this. And, you know, I had to put something on the calendar that wouldn't change. And in other words, I didn't want to take a chance on getting rained off the grass and not being able to run. So the synthetic was the answer. He's just as good on the synthetic as he is the turf. So I had two places, basically, where I felt really confident to look, and that would either be Woodbine or Presque Isle. And we chose Presque Isle, came up a big field, which I was hoping it wouldn't, but it did. And he rose to the occasion and got back started in a good way. He's a really nice quality horse.
How old is he now?
I want to say he's 5.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Well, he feels like one of those turf sprint types that, you know, is going to be around for a lot longer yet.
Well, and you know, that's not a coincidence in a lot of cases. I've always said if I come back as a horse, I want to be a turf horse. You don't run when it rains; you get the winners off. You know, so you know, a lot of these turf horses. I mean, last year I was able to win the first stake with English Minister at the age of 9. You know, he finally won his first stake at the age
that's
of
right.
9. So these turf horses, if you treat them right and they get the proper rest, and you're a little lucky, they can have nice long careers.
Well, you know, I mentioned Colonial and the rest of their season. You had gone down there with a couple of different horses, and I do want to ask about one nice-looking 3-year-old, and that was Lynchburg, the Virginia bred, the Munnings. I don't know if you had something else planned at Colonial for him, but he's a 3-year-old gelding, and it seems like there's some quality to him.
Yeah, and lo and behold, he was a Virginia bred, so it's not a great year to own Virginia bred, but, you know, maybe next year will be better.
Exactly. But in the meantime, Mike, a very good summer, which is drawing to a close, and a lot of stake performers led by Win Win Win, who enhances his resume, the hat trick son for Live Oak and a 4-go win. Mike, well done, and always delighted for you. Well, most importantly, what about the most important horse in the barn? News to me.
Yeah, well, we're actually searching for a place to run him now. You know, there's not a lot of choices for these 3-year-old dirt sprinters, you know, so we're looking for a place for him, and you know, we should see him in the entries here soon.
Well, it's very important, and the reason he's the most important horse in the barn is because Mrs. Trombetta, Marie, owns News to Me. So you got to keep the missus happy, and we'll be watching for the next start. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Mike Trombetta, everybody, and a very nicely orchestrated success for Win, Win, Win. You can follow Mike, too, and on Twitter, Trombetta_Mike, Trombetta Stables. Let's take a break. Top of the hour is upon us, and we zipped through an hour here already. We're going to talk to Joe Bianca from TDN, and I want Joe, we've missed Joe for several weeks, and got to catch up with him. I want to get some pre-Derby thoughts. And, of course, Joe, who headlines essentially the TDN Writers Room podcast that picks one, pretty much one major topic and theme each week. And last week, a very frank Sal Sinatra, and Sal was with them with last week. Alan Carrasco sits in, and Bill Finley, and John Green, and the Writers Room, which is good listening if you aren't signed on to get delivered on a weekly basis. Joe Bianca joins us from TDN. It's Oaks Draw Day here at Churchill Downs. Back after this, Sirius XM at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
1, 2, 3, and I come with the redneck staff. Cause you know I'm getting paid by the mile. I hate this, I pay this, but I save this. Everybody smiles, and I'm gracious. See, I rob banks, I pull pranks. Sometimes I eat franks and conditions. Best wishes, I'm vicious. But here I am again like CNN. Believe me, my friend. Stick them up.
We're back at Churchill Downs